Put your flags up in the sky.
Sporty greetings to our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to a special 30-minute World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. There are three World Cup matches on Friday. Cameroon is meeting Mexico in rainy Natal, Brazil, and that will be followed by games between Spain and the Netherlands and Salvador, Brazil, and Chile and Australia in Cuiabá, Brazil. Right now in Natal, Mexico leads Cameroon 1-0. They're in the 69th minute. Mexico's goal came in the 61st minute by Oribe Peralta. It's been raining throughout the match. Once again, we're in the 69th minute. Mexico leads Cameroon 1-0. Now, our VOA football fans will remember the Spain-Netherlands match is a rematch of the 2010 World Cup final in South Africa, where the Spaniards edged the Dutch 1-0 on a goal by Andres Iniesta in extra time. The World Cup football tournament officially kicked off Thursday with host Brazil scoring a 3-1 victory over Croatia in Sao Paulo. Barcelona star Neymar scored two goals for the Brazilians, who are bidding for a record-extending sixth World Cup title. But Neymar's second goal proved especially controversial. It came off a penalty kick in the 71st minute. Japanese referee Yuichi Nishimura awarded the penalty when Brazil's Fred went down casually in the box. Croatia's Dejan Lovren had placed his hand on Fred's shoulder, but the contact didn't appear nearly enough to bring down the striker. The Croatian players were furious. They followed Nishimura to the end line, but the ruling stood. Croatia's goalkeeper Stipe Pleticosa got both hands on Neymar's penalty shot, but it went into the net, and Brazil led 2-1. Oscar scored Brazil's third goal in injury time. The final from Sao Paulo, Brazil 3, Croatia 1. After the World Cup's opening match, Croatia's head coach Niko Kovac was harshly critical of the penalty being awarded to the Brazilians. In his words, and I quote, "If that's a penalty, we don't need to play football anymore. Let's play basketball. It's a shame. If we continue in this way, we'll have a circus." Meanwhile, Brazil's head coach, Felipe Luis Scolari, responded to his Croatian counterpart by saying, "Brazil has five world championships, so we have seen five world circuses." VOA Scott Bob watched Brazil's victory from the country's famous Copacabana beach in Rio de Janeiro, and he tells us about the reaction from Brazilian fans there.
Brazil erupted with joy as its team scored its first goal of the Football World Cup. The point erased moments of agony following an own goal that gave rival Croatia the first goal of the tournament. "The Brazilians played well," said Australian Paul Clark as he had his hair braided after the game.
"They played very well. They had possession for most of the game, and they held on to it well."
During the match, demonstrators protesting the high cost of the games marched past the fans in Copacabana. A protest earlier in the day was dispersed by police using tear gas. Fans Fabiana Lima and Suzanne Saliba said they sympathize with the protesters' cause, but not with the protest.
"Eu acho que assim, não é o momento agora. A Copa do Mundo já está acontecendo. É evento que inexorável, a gente já sabia que ia acontecer. Então, por mais que a gente esteja descontente, eu acho que esse momento é o momento da gente aproveitar a Copa. A gente tem vários problemas, mas assim, os problemas que a gente tem, a culpa não é da Copa."
Brasil!
The fans partied late into the night, The Festival of Football begins in earnest Friday with the first full day of matches and ends a month from now with the final in this city's Maracanã Stadium. Scott Bob, VOA News, Rio de Janeiro.
Put your flags up in the sky. Hi, this is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports. Visit VOAfootball.com for live updates on the World Cup in Brazil. The site is optimized for your mobile phone or tablet and will bring you the latest scores, stats, photos, and videos. And everything can be shared with your friends from your mobile device to Facebook and Twitter. World Cup nonstop at VOAfootball.com.
I mentioned Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. I asked my Facebook friends what they thought of the World Cup opener between Brazil and Croatia. Let's sample a few comments. Sunday Kofi, writing from Kano, Nigeria, referred to Neymar's penalty kick and the Japanese referee by saying simply, "The referees and officials spoiled the game." Matthew Sesk Mwenya Jr., writing from Lusaka, Zambia, agreed with our friend Sunday Kofi and Kano. Matthews writes, "The officials spoiled the game. That's my opinion. But congrats to the Samba boys from Brazil." Austin Njoku, writing from Abuja, Nigeria, took a gentler approach to the performance by the Japanese referee, saying, "Officials are prone to mistakes. After all, they're only human. They cannot stop us from catching fun. This is going to be a thrilling and entertaining competition." Joshua Gyamfi, writing from the University of Ghana, says, "Not bad for a World Cup opening match. A good win for the hosts. It should be a great tournament this year, Sonny." Quick update from Natal, Brazil, where it's been raining for much of the day. Mexico leads Cameroon 1-0. They're in the 76th minute. Mexico's goal came in the 61st minute off a rebound. Uribe Peralta then knocked the ball into the net. It's Mexico 1, Cameroon 0. They're in the 76th minute in rainy Natal, Brazil. I'll have more World Cup news, but first, the San Antonio Spurs defeated the Miami Heat Thursday night, 107-86, to take a commanding 3-1 lead in the National Basketball Association Finals. VOA's Tati Abeje tells us more about San Antonio's Game 4 victory in Miami, Florida.
There is no gentle way of saying it. The Spurs simply demolished the Heat. No ifs or buts. Right from the tip-off, they came out strong and dominated the game to the very end. Sure, the Spurs had momentum on their side after convincingly winning Game 3 on Tuesday, but they were the huge underdogs in this game. They also played in a hostile environment at the Heat's own American Airlines Arena. As usual, the Spurs moved the ball fast and furious. They were aggressive and in constant motion. Their scoring statistics were also great. They made 57% of their shots and 43% from three-point range. They also scored 55 points in the first half. At one point, the Spurs were leading the Heat by 25 points. Small forward Kawhi Leonard played well again. He scored 20 points, grabbed 14 rebounds, and defended Heat star LeBron James quite well. Tony Parker had 19 points. Tim Duncan added 10 points and 11 rebounds. The Spurs' defense was impressive as well, holding the Heat to 45% shooting. After the game, Spurs head coach Greg Popovich assessed his team's victory.
"I'm pleased that they performed as well as they did while we've been in Miami, and that's about as far as it goes. Now we've got to go back home and play as well or better."
The Heat's performance was, to put it mildly, disappointing. They lacked effort and energy. It appeared their defense took the night off. They gave up way too many easy buckets and open three-point shots. The only highlight was LeBron James, who scored 28 points and grabbed 8 rebounds. The rest of the team played poorly. Dwayne Wade had only 10 points on 3 of 13 shooting. LeBron James reflected on his team's performance.
I mean, they smashed us. Two straight home games, got off to awful starts. You know, they came in and, you know, was much better than us in these two games. It's just that simple.
LeBron says that his team has to respond in a big way after losing two straight home games. He feels his team can still win this series, despite their big deficit. No team in NBA Finals history has ever come back from a 3-1 hole to win the championship. So does this signal the end of the Heat's dream of a three-peat? Well, we'll just wait and see. Game 5 takes place Sunday night in San Antonio, Texas. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm VOA's Tadia Beje.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
And when you visit VOAnews.com, make sure you check out the Sunny Side of Sports blog, in which I write about a variety of sporty topics. My latest blog post is titled World Cup Goal Line Technology. Brazil 2014 marks the first time the technology is being used at the International Football Fiesta. Another World Cup update now from rainy Natal, Brazil. We're in the 80th minute and Mexico leads Cameroon, the indomitable Lions of Cameroon, by a score of 1-0. Mexico's goal came in the 61st minute from Oribe Peralta, the indomitable Lions making their African record 7th World Cup appearance, and they're hoping to bounce back from a dismal performance at the 2010 World Cup in South Africa, where they lost all three of their group matches. Once again, we're in the 80th minute, and Mexico leads Cameroon 1-0 in the World Cup opener for both teams. Meanwhile, on the sidelines of the World Cup, the female chief of Sierra Leone football has been honored, as we hear now from our Daybreak Africa sportsman, Mark Ouma.
Sierra Leone's Football Association president, Isha Johansen, received a standing ovation at the FIFA Congress when FIFA president Sepp Blatter acknowledged she is the only female in the world currently heading a national football federation. Johansen is the third female national federation head after Liberia's Izet Sombo-Wesley and Burundi's Lydia Nsereka. Among FIFA's 209 members, Africa stands out as the only place in the world to have had a female head of a national federation. Elsewhere, fans are in for a bumper treat tomorrow Saturday. Colombia play Greece in Belo Horizonte before Uruguay and Costa Rica clash in Fortaleza. Then England and Italy engage in the heart of the Amazon tropical forest in the city of Mananas before the Ivory Coast encounter Japan in Recife. On Sunday, Switzerland play Ecuador in Brasilia. France engage Honduras in Porto Alegre as Argentina and Bosnia-Herzegovina clash in Rio de Janeiro.
Voice of America.
I heard it voice of America calling on my wavelength. Man, I was coming out of Frankfurt, I made. I heard it voice of America calling on my wavelength. Sing it, come back.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Let's keep in mind, this will be the first time goal line technology is used at the 32-nation football jamboree. 14 cameras, 7 focused on each goal mouth,
have been hung up in all 12 World Cup stadiums in Brazil. The cameras will record 500 images per second, and a computer will process the frames. Within a second of a ball crossing the line, the referee's special watch will vibrate and flash goal. The small German startup company Goal Control created the technology used to support the referees, something which has been used for years already in sports such as cricket, rugby, tennis, and American-style football. The German company demonstrated the goal line technology at Brazil's famous Maracanã Stadium in Rio de Janeiro, where the World Cup final will be played July 13th. The chief executive officer of Goal Control is Dirk Breuchhausen.
The system works 100% accurate, and we have the possibility that the signals will be sent out after the cams have seen whether the ball crossed the line or not, to send out to referee's watch, and the referee then decides at his sole discretion, okay, is it a goal or not, yes or no.
World football's governing body, FIFA, was persuaded to move to the goal line technology after an incident at the 2010 World Cup in South Africa. England's Frank Lampard was denied a goal against Germany when his shot hit the bar and officials failed to spot the ball had bounced down just behind the line. If it had been ruled a goal, England would have tied the match at 2-2. But Germany went on to win 4-1 in the round of 16 match in Bloemfontein. FIFA has carried out extensive testing of the new technology. Speaking in Rio, the group leader of the FIFA quality program, Johannes Holzmuller, had this to say.
In the preparation of this World Cup, the independent test institute, Labelsport UK, they've tested over 2,400 goal line incidents in the several stadiums here in Brazil. All of these 2,400 goal line incidents were correctly recognized by the system. So yes, we can trust the system. We are sure that it worked 100%.
In more World Cup news, the spirit of the football fiesta has spread to the United Nations in New York. UN ambassadors from all 32 participating countries don their national team jerseys ahead of Thursday's opening match between Brazil and Croatia in Sao Paulo. As he posed for photographs with the various UN ambassadors, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon talked about his love of football.
Some of you may know that I have played football from time to time with some of the ambassadors here today. I even broke my hand at one point. It took 2 months to heal. I guess I have to stop trying to do that Pelé-style bicycle kick. Today's gathering is an occasion to celebrate the best values of sport, teamwork, fair play, and mutual respect. Over the next month, hundreds of million people will be entertained and enthralled as we follow the action at avenues across Brazil. Regardless of the team we support, we will all be admiring the extraordinary feats of the world's best players. Sports has a unique ability to unite us and to show us what we have in common. There is no better testimony than today's event. What else can get ambassadors to shed their suits and ties and dress like this during daytime? To all the competing teams in Brazil, I wish you the very best. Last year, I had the honor of kicking off the ball at the Real Madrid match. This year, they won the Champions League. I hope to bring all of your teams the same luck.
That's Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General of the United Nations, speaking at UN headquarters in New York. And I'd love to see Ban Ki-moon do one of those Pele-style bicycle kicks. Yes, indeed.
the sun is out of sports.
Hi, I'm Shegu Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
Well, our friend in Lagos, Segun Dot on the Spot Adeyemi, will be giving us World Cup updates during his Nightline Africa Sports on Sundays at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Segun has written a World Cup feature, and it's getting international distribution. Segun's article is titled, "Will Africa Break the Quarterfinal Jinx?" And he addresses the question of whether an African team will get past the quarterfinal stage for the first time in Brazil. Only three African teams have ever reached the World Cup quarterfinals: the indomitable Lions of Cameroon at Italy 1990, the Lions of Teranga from Senegal at Japan South Korea 2002, and the Black Stars of Ghana at South Africa 2010. The Black Stars kick off their World Cup campaign Monday when they play the United States in Natal, Brazil. At a news conference in Sao Paulo, where the American team is based, the USA's German coach, Jurgen Klinsmann, said his squad is looking forward to the match.
Now it's almost a month of preparation. Obviously, the team is eager to get this thing started. You know, we can't wait to play our first game on Monday against Ghana. And you can just sense, and I don't know how it is with you, but I think you can sense now the excitement of the population here, of the people here. They want to embrace it. It's their World Cup. It's their big, big, big stage now that Brazil will show the world. And we are just proud to be part of it. But at the same time, we're very ambitious and hungry. And we want to get it started on the right foot against Ghana in a few days from now.
The USA's World Cup coach, Jurgen Klinsmann, is well aware that Ghana has eliminated the American team from the past two World Cups, Germany 2006 and South Africa 2010. He's also well aware that along with European powers, Germany and Portugal, the USA has been placed in what's widely regarded as the group of death.
You know, this is probably the most difficult group, you know, in the World Cup, you know, and we can't wait to get it started. You know, we respect every opponent, every player that we face in those three group stage games, and we know about their strengths, but we also know about their weaknesses. You know, and we know about our strengths, and we know about, you know, what we need to improve still. So we're working on that since a month, you know, with a tremendous group, you know, with a tremendous energy that we have. And over the last two and a half weeks, we built more and more the chemistry. You know, we automized a lot of things in training. So we feel very confident to go into this game against Ghana. But we also know, you know, what Ghana represents as one of the top nations in Africa. There's no doubt about it. And what Portugal and Germany represents. But we are eager to challenge them now. We are eager to go eye to eye with them now. And once those three games are played, then you can make your judgment.
That's Jurgen Klinsmann, the head coach of the USA's World Cup team, and he was speaking from Sao Paulo, Brazil.
We got the game on! This is for the world! Just come out and play with me! This is for the globe! Just come out and play with me! This is for the world! Just come out and play with me! This is for the globe! This is for the world! Just come out and play with me! This is for the globe! Just come out and play with me! This is for the world! Just come out and play with me! This is for the globe! We got the game on!
Game on! Sports fans, with the World Cup football tournament kicking off Thursday in Brazil, two former star players are making their picks for the trophy. Michael Owen played in three World Cups for England before retiring from football in 2013. He likes one of Brazil's neighbors to lift the trophy for a third time.
Well, I think Argentina are going to win the World Cup. I think that they've got some fabulous players in Di Maria and Messi, Higuain and Aguero, lots of top-class players. I think they're playing, I know Brazil is next door, but basically in their home conditions. You know, I think this is Messi's time to shine on the world stage. I think some people will argue that you can't be considered the best player of all time unless you do it in a World Cup. So some people won't, of course, but I'm sure that he will want to perform really well in a World Cup.
Michael Owen spoke in Hong Kong, China, one of his stops on a World Cup publicity tour. Also in Hong Kong was former Dutch star Ruud Gullit, who thinks the host country must be considered the favorite to win a record-extending sixth World Cup trophy.
I think that Brazil, of course, is favorite. They play at home. There's a lot of pressure on them winning it. I hope that Holland will do well. They have less experienced team. They have a lot of youngsters in the team, especially defensively. So therefore, we're going to play also, I think, as we saw in the preseason, that they play a different system. They play a little bit more defensively than they normally do. I hope that an African country will do well, because I think that a lot of African countries have a lot of players who play in the Champions League, play good teams in Europe. So maybe Ghana or Cameroon will do well.
That's former Dutch football star Ruud Gullit speaking in Hong Kong, China. Gullit mentioned Cameroon. Well, the indomitable Lions of Cameroon lost Friday just seconds ago in rainy Natal, Brazil. The indomitable Lions fall to Mexico 1-0 in the opening World Cup match for both teams. Mexico got its goal in the 61st minute from Oribe Peralta. The Cameroonian Lions fought valiantly to get the equalizer at the end, but alas, they fell just short. They lose their opening match to Mexico 1-0. Once again, that goal by Oribe Peralta in the 61st minute. Disappointing start for Cameroon. They were hoping to bounce back after losing all three of their group matches at the 2010 FIFA World Cup in South Africa. So once again, the final from rainy Natal, Brazil. Mexico 1, Cameroon 0. And now the Group A standing. Let's take a look. Brazil on the strength of that 3-1 victory over Croatia on Thursday. They lead the group standings with 3. They're jointly atop with Mexico, which has 3 points. Croatia and Cameroon now at the bottom with no points. So once again, from Natal, Mexico 1, Cameroon 0. In more World Cup news, Chile's coach Jorge Sampaoli says there's a high possibility that star midfielder Arturo Vidal will be fit to play in the team's opening match against Australia later Friday night. Vidal is one of Chile's key players, and he's been recovering from knee surgery that he underwent last month. Sampaoli says Vidal has been training normally the past few days. Meanwhile, USA defender Timmy Chandler did not participate in training Thursday because of a leg injury that the American team says is minor. U.S. team officials say Chandler worked out on his own and was expected to rejoin his teammates today, Friday, when the Americans go through their last practice in Sao Paulo before traveling north to Natal for their World Cup opener on Monday against Ghana. Ruud Gullit talking about how he hopes Ghana and Cameroon will do well. Cameroon loses on Friday to Mexico 1-0. The Ghanaians hoping to score their third consecutive victory over the United States at the World Cup. They eliminated the Americans from the past two World Cups, 2006 in Germany and in 2010 in South Africa. That game in South Africa went into extra time in the knockout rounds, with Ghana coming out on top by a score of 2-1. The Black Stars go against the USA in their opening World Cup match on Monday. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Audrius Regis for his technical support of the program. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's... Hey. Hey.
someone.